Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. My name's Chris John Riley, and together with my co-host Martin McKay, we'll be talking to presenters at the upcoming FIRST conference taking place in Denver, Colorado between June 14th and 19th, 2026. We look forward to seeing you at the conference, and now we join our interview in progress.
Well, I am talking today to Tim Brown, who is the CISO in residence for Team 8 and the former CISO of SolarWinds. Tim, let's start with Team 8. What is Team 8 and what is a CISO in residence?
Great question. So Team 8 is a venture capitalist firm that focuses on incubation and early stage startups. So, you know, we will find a good idea. We have a CISO village of about 700 CISOs. We take the ideas from the CISO village, and if there's something missing, we'll start a company for that. Yeah, we give the little companies a place to live, or place to set up their office, a place for them to, you know, really help them so that they just concentrate on their idea, and really bootstrap them to the point where they end up with an A round, sometimes a B round, and, you know, become successful companies. And we have about 30 in the portfolio, many exits. CISO in residence, I get to do the fun things. So I have a CISO village, and that village is sort of my domain. So I'm looking to always up-level the CISO, make them prepared for next years, make them prepared for the future, help them share.
And when you say CISO village, you're talking about a community of CISOs that you interact with in order to do that preparation, to communicate and hear from them.
Absolutely. So we just came out of our CISO Village Summit last week in Lanier Island, about 130 CISOs, many different functions, global. And, yeah, really fantastic event, fantastic community. And, you know, we do it right, and we're building the right things that help improve the world.
And you're throwing a whole bunch of stuff against the wall to see what sticks and hopefully coming up with some very interesting ideas.
Yeah, and the other side of it is that I work with all the startups. So I work closely with them. A number of Israeli ones, they love you to tell them the truth. So no sugarcoating. And, you know, that's what they look for because that's what we need. So that's CISO in residence.
Now, your talk today was talking about your former position as the CISO for SolarWinds and the December of 2020 compromises that happened there. And you gave a very interesting talk. But to me, one of the topics that came out of that was you mentioned towards the end just the stress you were under, the stress your team was under, and the long-term stress. Let's talk about with the immediate stress of dealing with an international, a worldwide incident, and how did your team try and combat some of this from the very beginning?
Yeah, so from the very beginning, you know, you equate that to somebody breaking into your house and changing your stuff or stealing your stuff. You're really mad. So when you think about how you deal with it at that point, it's just a little bit of anger. This happened. I love my products and you disrupted them. You disrupted the company I work for. You disrupted. So you get into that model of, okay, how do I fix this, right? And it takes time. You're working 18-hour days. You're trying to work through things. Your teams are trying to work through things. It's just one of the busiest times in your life. So, of course, there's stress with busy. I lost 25 pounds in 30 days.
Oh, I could afford to do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's not a good diet plan.
Not
a good diet plan. And then the teams around you are all kind of feeling that same pressure and stress because we're filling in gaps everywhere. So it is really the whole company that goes under stress. And stress starts to wane. It gets to a manageable state.
But we're not talking in days. That's weeks
right,
later,
months,
correct?
Months like later? A good month is the first, you know, you're in it for that month.
Okay.
Super intense, super. So for me, I'll give you, you know, when we got back. So December 12th, we get back from New Year's break, essentially. So around about a month.
Okay.
Things are better. We didn't take a break, of course. We took Christmas Day off. But things are more standard. Things are, documentation is better. Things that we can give for people are better. Our playbooks are better. Our, all of those things get to be better. And that reduces stress from unknown work to known work, right?
Right, but at that same time, that release of stress can be a breaking point by itself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so it not to be, you know, not to be underestimated, right? You're under constant stress. You don't know what's going to happen next, right? New CEO change. Don't know what's going to happen next. You know, getting yelled at by the best. Some of us have done that for years, so we don't think it stresses us. So it's also the undefined stress. It's the point of saying, you know, I think I have everything handled. I'm just going through the things. I'm getting stuff done. We're moving forward. We're getting things going. In reality, you know, you may not.
You're going from that first level of stress where everything's about immediacy to the longer term stress where it's about how do I fix the problem that happened at the start of this?
Right. And, you know, what I set up on stage, this happened under my watch. And that's a very serious thing, right? That, you know, I was hired to protect the company and it didn't work. And there's reasons and excuses and all that. But from your stress perspective, it happened on your watch and I want to fix it. And
yeah.
And so you do everything you can till you see that things are fixed. So you carry a stress burden across that entire cycle.
And how does that affect your team? I mean, I have to, does it have an effect on turnover long-term? Does it have an effect on job performance long-term? Can you even track those sorts of things? And how do you combat it?
Yeah, so we got really lucky with the team. So the team really stuck in there for, you know, the first 6 months extremely well, right? And what more can you ask, right? That, you know, that after, you know, about 6 months, we're in steady state at that point, right? So it's just kind of repeating what we're doing. But
so the first wave has broken, the second wave is broken. You've gotten past those first, but you've got the long-term sorts of things.
Then you have the long-term, right? And so things get back to somewhat normal from a cadence for the incident team and from others. But we're also looking to be exemplary during this period of time. So we're bringing in new people. We're building new things. We're building up teams. We're really building an exemplary program. So in many ways, it's exciting for the team, right, to be able to build that way. So I think some of that excitement, it's change, but it's a different type of stress, right? When we skip to second phase, which is sort of the legal side of things, that stressed out people a lot more than the technical side of things.
At least with technical, most of us are familiar with the steps we need to take, even if we don't know the exact piece of tool or defense we need to put in place, we know what we're to expect. Legally, most of us have no idea.
Yeah, legally, you know, most of us are not lawyers, haven't been through these situations. The legal process tends to get a little bit nasty from a description of what you do and how you do things. The questions that you face from prosecution, in our case, the SEC, are, you know, they're pointed, they're, you know, questioning things that are, you know, just normal day-to-day business for you sometimes, or sometimes it's a joke amongst your coworkers. So those types of things really, you know, if I could have removed something from this whole cycle, would have been the effects or the negative effects on my team. I couldn't protect them from this cycle. They insisted on talking to people that were part of the team. And I wasn't trying to hide anything. I was really just trying to save them from the, you know, the stress that gets induced from doing, you know, you have to remember what a deposition is, right? Six binders of all the emails you've ever written since you've been in there, your team's messages. And then somebody saying, you know, oh, Joe, when you said engineering sucked today, what do you mean by that, right?
I had a good friend that explained to me that a manager's job is best summed up as, you better have my money, first of all. So you got to pay people. If you don't do that, you haven't done anything else. And the second is protecting people to do their job. And that sounds like what you were trying to do, but you couldn't.
Yeah. And they didn't have enough knowledge to understand what was normal in our jobs, right? So continuous improvement, what we do, we create plans.
They being the lawyers.
Right. They did not understand that it's not a finance term, right? So, you know, you don't have continuous improvement with numbers.
Continuous improvement to us means, hey, we did better than we did yesterday. And that may be a soft skill, a soft measurement to lawyers, to financiers. That means, was the number bigger than the day before?
Right. So the whole idea of supporting your program, which we had a reasonable program, we had a good program. Not good enough for the Russian SVR, but it was a good program. Post-incident, it became exemplary. Just the threatening of the program that we put together, the deep inspection, the inspection of messages between people, all of those things made people very, very, very uncomfortable. And when they had to go through depositions, super stress for all of the people. And, you know, we really tried to shield the company from most things. The folks that were involved in this whole five-year cycle was the CEO, the CFO, or CEO, general counsel, myself, were the ones that were embedded. We tried to shield, but we couldn't shield everybody.
And when you say the company, you're not meaning the company as an organization. You're meaning the individuals within the company, because the company is not an individual at all.
But the point is, we didn't. The effect of the legal issues were not as, we tried to not make them as stressful for the rest of the company, tried to keep it into the pockets of those people and let the company move on from a company perspective to profitability, and which we did, right? But stress level for the incident response team, stress level for my IR SOC team, stress level for everybody was just under intense pressure, especially with the lawyers, right? Because it's not a normal process. It's hard.
And you had long-term effects on that yourself. Would you like to go into those?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I thought I was managing stress pretty well through the cycle. And I really did. I thought I was doing okay. And I ended up having a heart attack the day that I found out that I was charged. And I was the only one being charged. And unexpected, but you know, it builds up, right? So was I proactive? No. Did I go to the doctors 2 years into this thing? Because this was 23, so 2.5 years into it is when I had a heart attack. Did I go to the doctors and say, hey, I'm under a lot of stress, we should test something? I didn't. And that's one of the biggest lessons, is how you manage through stress. You should be proactive. I wasn't, and you know, it got me. 75% blockage, one artery, 95% in the other, but all better now. I got lucky.
Congratulations.
I got lucky, but now I think about how I deal with the stress in a different way.
And for teams out there that are not necessarily going with what you went through, but are going into some sort of situation like this, what would you suggest that they look at after the first stage, after they get through the initial response? How would you suggest that they maybe look at their team and try and protect them?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of, and I didn't do this, but I'm a big fan of having a psychologist on your team during a crisis for immediate, because people need to talk to people, just like in any crisis. So make that part of your incident response process. Important to have. Post-incident, understand that your team's going through stress and encourage them more to be proactive in what they're doing and do a little bit more active. And then for yourself, become more active in what you're doing. I actually struggled with some of the recommendations of reduction of stress because I kind of like stress. It's what I do. Right? And so people telling me I need less stress, less stress, less stress, less stress. Well, not really. I just have to manage stress better. So I actually saw a psychologist that focused on happiness for the last 40 years. He's published in a lot of places. Can't remember his name off the top of my head. But what he said was, you know, when you stress your muscles and work out, You give them rest, then you do it again, then you do it again, and your muscles get stronger, but you have to give them the rest cycle.
And an instant a real instant response is significant stress cycles, so you're going to tear muscles.
Yep.
To use the analogy.
Yep, but then how do you do recovery?
Mm-hmm.
What is your recovery plan? How do you manage recovery? That's what I can do truthfully, right? I can say, yeah, all right, I can manage stress a little bit, but I can absolutely manage recovery. I can go take a walk. I can breathe. I can do things that will reduce my stress level. And he has all sorts of studies. You know, one of his studies was pretty cool. Went into a trading floor and asked the trading floor, can I have an hour a day for your traders to reduce stress? What did they do?
No.
Can I have, and he finally got to, can I have 10 seconds three times a day?
Wow.
And what did they say?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you 10 seconds three times a day. And they took it seriously, and then on their computer it said to breathe for 10 seconds, three times a day. This came up. They measured stress before and after, and that 10 seconds three times a day made a measurable difference in the level of stress.
Huh. They're taking 10 seconds to be mindful of your environment and just your body made that big of a difference.
Exactly. So there's science behind the model, but that's recovery in many ways. So, you know, I'm still working on the best ways to recover, but I can put a recovery plan together. I couldn't get a stress reduction plan together.
I just wonder how many people have any sort of stress indicators actions in their incident response teams at this point in time.
Oh, so many incident response teams are working so hard all the time. They don't know what's coming in next day. That's one of the biggest problems. They don't know if they're going to be at this level and then quickly jump up to incident, critical incident, get the call. It's usually on a Friday.
It's always on a Friday.
I know. So how do you manage through those things, right? How do you both, when they're happening, how do you take a minute? How do you de-stress? And then when they're done, how do you de-stress? So very, very important to be able to manage that in the right way, because you're not going to get rid of it, right? That's the big thing. You know, your job, incident response, says you're going to be there when something bad happens. So accept that that's the job. Accept that you're going to have a spike in stress during those things, and then plan on what recovery looks like post.
Or what a 10-second break just to breathe might look like
might
in the
look.
Middle of a meeting with the CEO.
Absolutely.
Which might be good for the CEO to take that 10 seconds, too.
Absolutely might be good for the CEO as well.
Tim, is there any last thoughts you'd like to think of, like to leave us with about either stress or SolarWinds or what you're working on now?
Yeah, this whole experience, right? It's a long time. 5 years of my life went into, you know, this whole process. And people don't necessarily, some people think this was terrible. And in reality, this was, you know, one of the most kind of interesting times that I had to live through. I accomplished an incredible amount. I helped the world in a number of different ways. I learned a great deal. And I grew. So incident responders, just because you're going through something bad, it doesn't mean you can't get something good out of it. Your experiences are incredibly important. And each one of these things you go through, each one of these things you work through, makes you grow. So don't shy away from them. Use it as growth.
Because it's going to help your career in some ways just as well as everything else.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Tim, and let's get back to the conference.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the First Impressions podcast, the official podcast of the FIRST Conference. The upcoming FIRST Conference is taking place in Denver, Colorado, between June 14th and 19th. Looking forward to seeing you there.